Chapter 11. Hweg Shul Nam Chirios.
As night fell across this portion of Nam Chirios, even the listless heat provided by the violet sun diminished, and so did the atmospheric agitation on the planet's surface. Winds died. The dust storm that had blanketed the capital town throughout the daylight hours faded, leaving Hweg Shul caked with a new layer of dust the approximate color of dirty snow. Overhead, a starfield like an empire's collection of royal jewels poured carelessly across a bed of black velvet gleamed down at the residents of this rocky, unrewarding world.
So beautiful.
Luke, standing outside the admirable admiral with his son and Vistara, looked at the expanse of shining, twinkling lights.
Farther out from town, where the inhabitants' lights don't interfere, it will be more beautiful still.
It was a strange dichotomy that a world so poor, which had provided such a mean and meager living to its inhabitants for so many hundreds of years, should be lovely in so many ways. Its ravines and rises full of gloriously colorful crystals below, its clear and unpolluted nighttime skies above. It was little wonder that so many hardy citizens had remained behind when the world opened up for trade and emigration 30 years earlier, or that the population had even grown in numbers since then. In the stillness of the painfully cold night, Luke glimpsed a flicker of light far up the street. It was hard to make out at this distance, even with the air as still and clear as it was, but it had a familiar, almost organic quality, like a legless sidewinder species made of golden illumination hurtling toward them at pod racer speed. He caught the teenager's attention. "Brace yourselves. Don't resist it. Let it flow through you." Vistara caught sight of it, now plainly visible, just a few blocks from them. Her eyes widened. Ben, his attention on his father, didn't.
"Let what flow?"
Then it was on them, under them, through them. A blinding flash of light and a tingling throughout their bodies, as if each had accidentally brushed a high voltage line. Luke felt his muscles spasm, felt his mind go blank just for an instant. He saw his son and Vistara fall. He himself stayed upright, not out of force of will, but out of control of force. He let the force energy pass through him, barely a trace interacting with his body. Then the light was gone, crackling across the ground behind them, curling serpent-like beneath the elevated foundation of the hostel and other newcomer buildings before vanishing among the homes and streets a block away. Ben scrambled to his feet, a little shaky.
Can I take it that this was ground lightning?
Vistara rose more slowly and gracefully.
It's like a tedious old nursemaid who wants to tickle you. Except she switched to using an electro-whip.
Ground lightning, yes. Luke stretched his legs to make sure they were still limber. The ground lightning jolt had aggravated his injured knee, which throbbed.
It can be surprising, and sometimes painful,
but it also kills Drocs.
Ah!
Ben's voice became cheerful.
Then it's my new best friend. I want to bathe in it.
Moments later, Cell appeared, turning the corner a block up the darkened, almost empty street. Over her jumpsuit were a fur-lined jacket and heavy boots and a Koopa hide dyed bright yellow, plus a heavy tan hooded cloak. Her features were largely hidden by a woolen veil and goggles, but she waved as she approached.
"Were you outside for that?"
Luke nodded.
"I see some things haven't changed."
Cell reached them, did not break stride, moved past, leading them onward.
"Yes, some things are eternal."
Luke, Ben, and Vistara caught up to her, Luke falling in place to her left.
"So we have permission to see this nemotherapy being performed?"
"Yes. The listener, Master Taru, will conduct."
"Did the old-timer weapons emplacements have any sensor data that might be relevant?"